Good morning. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love. What a wonderful song. For Jesus, who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. That's a good prayer this morning. Pray to the Lord that you would revive us again. You know, that word again kind of tells me that he's done it before. He's revived us before. And then what did we do? We got lax and weak and didn't do the things that we should do. We didn't follow after him in the way that we should. And we were in need of revival again. So I'm hopeful this morning that your prayer this morning is that you ask the Lord to come and be with us and revive us again. Give to us what it is that we need this morning. Brother Joe and Brother Stephen and myself, we make efforts, but we can't do anything if the Lord's not with us. You're not going to hear a word we say, and it's not going to be edifying to you unless the Lord is in the matter. So we need your prayers as we stand before you. And I keep saying we because, just like I said a while ago, I've got the email from Brother Don. I can read it to you. It says I'm supposed to be backed up by these two brethren. So if things go awry, then I've got faith that the Lord would raise one of them up. And through one of us, there may be something said this morning that would be honoring to our Lord and Savior. You know, revive us again. You know, we're all sinners. And my mind is just running 100 different ways today. Brother Don emailed us 3 or 4 weeks ago, kind of telling us what the February schedule was going to be, that Brother Ed would not be here on the second Sunday, and that he would be here, and then Brother Kenny Venable would be with us last week. And then he asked that I make an effort this morning, and it is say backed up by these two brethren. So I've got it in writing. But it's good that we plan. But ever since I've gotten this email, and I said, Dear Lord, help me. You know, I'm supposed to stand and try to say some things, read from your word, and please be with me, and that I may not make a fool of myself and do something that's honoring to thy name. And I've had 10,000 different thoughts on my mind since then. I've had, I would read this scripture, and I said, I could see me going there and that being fruitful, and I would be reading that scripture, and then something else would pop up in mind. And then Brother Joe and I was talking this morning, and he gave me a few tidbits and kind of got me going down another path too. But it all kind of all comes together. Let me find where we. I usually don't write things down, but I wrote some things down this time, and maybe to help remind me. Let's look at Ephesians, the 5th chapter of Ephesians, in the 17th verse. Brother Joe was kind of laughing a while ago when he selected a song, and then he asked, everybody there? Has everybody got it? And there's a kind of a story behind that. On Wednesday nights, as we're having singing, we kind of rotate around, and Brother Joe will lead, Brother Stephen, myself, and whoever's there, Chris. And every time we ask Brother Joe, Brother Joe's ready to go. He's got his book open, and he knows what song he wants to sing. He said, Brother Joe, what you got? He'll say 211. We praise thee. And none of us have found a song. And we're flipping to it, and he's singing there by himself. Of course, we're trying to help him, but we kind of jumped him last week about that. So, Brother Joe, you got to give us a little time to find a song so we can sing with you. And I've noticed the ministers are bad about that. They'll say, turn to the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, 17th verse, and then away they go. And they start making comments. And by the time you get there, they say, now let's look at Romans. Everybody shaking your head, you know. Not that I can do any better than they do. They're obviously blessed of the Lord and called of the Lord to feed the sheep, and I'm thankful for each and every one of them. But it's just some observations that I've made. So if you're in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, the 17th verse, it reads, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be filled in the Spirit. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. My thought has been, what is the will of the Lord? What is the will of the Lord? Well, we can go back before the beginning of time, and the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost got together, and they made a pact that they knew man was going to be sin, and it was their will to have a people. We know that's part of the will of the Lord. And they made a pact with Christ, and that he would come, live, be born of a virgin, live on this earth, live a sinless life. Can you imagine that? You know, you try to be good, you try to stay above sin, but can anyone here say they've lived a sinless life? It's just almost impossible. Went to the cross, bore our sins, died, was buried, and was resurrected. That was the will of the Lord, that that would happen. When Christ prayed to the Lord, he said, Lord, please, if it be thy will, please take this from me. But not what I want, but thy will be done. And that was the Lord's will, that he would go in that particular instance, that he'd do that and bear our sins. And he did it. It was a perfect sacrifice. Did he leave any stone unturned? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Are there any of his people that he did not save? No. He did it. He shall save his people from their sins. Not one person will be lost. Well, Brother Gary, yeah, that may be so, but doesn't a man need to do something himself to justify himself in the eyes of the Lord? It seems like it just doesn't make sense that we get to skate through the world free from that. No, there's nothing that man can do to justify himself in the eyes of the Lord. I think somebody said this morning, Brother James maybe, a lady said, well, if I believe like y'all, I'd just do whatever I wanted to. And the person she was addressing, it might have been Brother James, said, well, you do anyway, don't you? And that really hit me, you know. I've had people say that, you know, if I believe like you, I just go out here and do what I wanted to do, not worry about nothing. Well, they're actually doing that. They are living exactly like they want to live, not worrying about nothing. Some of them believe, well, I can go out Friday night and commit all these sins and everything, and if I go the next day and go into this little room and say I'm sorry, you know, and I can do these things and be forgiven again, you know. Christ died once for the ungodly. There was not a sacrifice more than one. There was one sacrifice for the ungodly. We can't sacrifice anything. We can't do it repeatedly. We can't do it over and over and over. So my mind, I'm running down a bunch of different holes here. Matthew 7 and 24. Christ was giving the Sermon on the Mount. Brother Joe, you got it. Matthew 7:24. Christ, this is Christ at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I ask you this morning, do you have your house built upon the rock? Are you doing the things that the Lord would have you to do, that Christ has instructed you to do? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Are you coming together and worshiping with the Lord's people? Are you kind, generous? Are you letting all the fruits of the spirits come out? Kindness, goodness, faith. Are you doing these things? If you are, when the rain comes and the storms come, you're not going to fall. You're going to have strength. You're going to be able to endure the troubles of life. And you're going to have troubles in life. I don't care how close you follow this word. The world's going to happen to you. Things are going to happen. Tribulations. I think of Brother Phillips as he wrote this letter to us. And that family is real dear to our heart. We know him from the singing school, but he was recently ordained. But here's a man of God who is preaching and pastoring, and in my eyes was following the Lord as closely as he could, and their daughter was killed in a tragic car wreck here in Midland back last year. She had moved out here with her husband, and he was working here, and she was teaching at a school. And when the Midland Church found out that they were coming out, they wanted to some closure, a little bit of closure. And, you know, you never close that up. I heard people say, well, I need closure. And I know y'all have had tragic losses, and some things you can't close up. Isn't that right, Deborah? Deborah lost her son in a tragic way. I can remember people saying, well, why don't Deborah just get over that? Well, you don't get over it. You learn to deal with it. You learn to be thankful for the life that he was. And I tell you, I miss my nephew real bad, real bad. He and I had a special bond. And I had spent some time with him not long before that tragic event. But life keeps going on, and then you all know about Brenda and I losing our daughter and two grandboys. Tragic, tragic death. Do you get over that? No. Do you close it? No, you don't. But do you rejoice in the Lord and his salvation and know that one day you'll see them again? By the gift of the Son of God, his death, burial, and resurrection, we are guaranteed that he'll come back one day and he'll take us all home and we'll all be together and forever. Where will we be? We'll be with the Lord. Will we know each other as, will I know Eileen, Sister Eileen, and will she know me as married to her niece? I don't know. I doubt that. But will I love her with a perfect heart and with more understanding? Yes, I will. I love her more than I'll know now. You know, some people say, well, if I'm not going to know my wife or my husband when I got to get there, I don't think I want to go. Believe me, you want to go. Because the greatest things you can imagine on this earth will not even start to compare to what will be in glory. How do we know what the will of the Lord is? How do we find these things out? Well, I would say the first thing you probably have to do is study. Read the Bible. It's funny how you may be searching for something or reading for something. I mean, you've had a question, but you're reading something else. And while you're reading that, the answer to the previous question pops up right there in the scriptures. Did that ever happen to you? That happened to me the other day. I was trying to think about what I would speak of today, and I was going down a certain road, and then boom, there was a new subject for me. Let's look at James, the first chapter. If I can find it. My wife and my granddaughter are so good to me. They bought me a new Bible, and I can't turn the pages in it. It's one of those with real thin, but I shouldn't say that because this is being recorded, and they may. I can say that because they're not here this morning, but, you know, it's on record now, and I guess I could delete it first. But it's a pretty Bible, and it's got my name on it and everything. But my other Bible, I got duct tape all over it, and I got all my highlighting and everything. But thankful that they had the foresight and the love for me to get me a new Bible, and I appreciate that. First chapter of James, the fifth verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You know, I wonder, what is upbraideth? Anybody know what that means, upbraideth not? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So I had to research upbraideth, and it makes a lot of sense. It means that he's not going to hold anything against you, any of your past actions, anything that you've done, any of your sins, he's not going to throw it up in your face. He'll forget about that. It's all gone. If you ask of God who gives for wisdom, he's going to give it to you liberally. And he's not going to say, well, I can't give you wisdom because 3 weeks ago on a Sunday night, you watched this movie on TV. You didn't think anybody was watching, and it was maybe a little rated, you know, a little R-rated. You shouldn't have watched it. He's not going to say that, so I'm not going to give you any wisdom. No, it says no. He's not going to throw anything up in your faith, in your face, and is not going to hold anything against you. Our Lord is a forgiving Lord. But you know, it says if you lack wisdom, does it say if you lack wisdom, then God will give it to you liberally? No. It said if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We've got to go before the throne of God. We've got to ask him. We also need to confess and repent. Brother Joe and I was talking this morning. Confession and repentance kind of roll along together. But confession is confessing your sins to the Lord. Repentance is turning away from your sins. Similar, they will be about the same subject, but not exactly alike. If we confess our sins to the Lord, he's bound to forgive us. But we need to repent of our sins, and that's mean don't do them no more. Turn from them and go away. Just like we said in our opening marks, revive us again. We praise thee, O Lord, but revive us again. Forgive us again. Give us repentance again. Romans 12 and 12. And I know I'm kind of bouncing all over the world here. There's just been a lot going on in my mind this week. There again, here I go. I can't turn this page here. There we go. that's not the right spot. Romans 12, 1 and 2. 1 and 2. I'd written down 1 and 2. And I'm way off. I'm over here in Acts. But it was the 12th chapter. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You know, there's a lot of fat in these two verses. Paul's beseeching us that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You know, that's hard to do. Holy and acceptable unto God, to present yourself. But then he says, this is your reasonable service. This should be easy. This should be easy for you to do. And be not conformed to this world. Let's don't let the world mold who we are or change us, conform us, mold us into something that we're not. Is that going on today? I tell you, I grieve on the condition of this world and the effect it's having on our youth. The things that they're confronted with are far worse than what it was for me when I was that age. Curse words, cussing is commonplace. Young ladies, girls, just heard some of the awfulest language come out of their mouths, and I've heard it by accident. You know, they didn't know I was around, and it cut right to my heart. But this world is making these things seem normal, and this is the way you're supposed to be. The sexual activity of our kids will just abhor you. Thank you, Bill Clinton. But things the world has affected us greatly. Paul's saying, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. All right, instead of giving in to this world and the things, the pressures they're putting on us, let's be transformed into something else. How are we going to do that? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. How are we going to renew our minds? We're going to study the Word. Ask the Lord to renew your mind, to give you grace and mercy and understanding. And by doing that, you're going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is the will of God good? Yes, it is. It's telling you right here that you're going to prove by being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you're going to prove what is good and an acceptable and perfect will of God. Is that not God's will, that you be transformed by His Word? Is it not? And you can prove that by doing that. By His grace and mercy, you're able to do it. I want to get one more thing before I close my mind here. Let's all turn over to Psalms, the 31st verse. David wrote the psalm, wrote this psalm, and we all know David's story and how he was a sinner just like we are. And many times he'd fallen into the depth of sins. But the Psalms 31, the 21st and 22nd verse. Let's read 21 through 24. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou hearest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. O Lord, O love the Lord, all his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewarded the proud doer. I can't read this morning. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Sounds like David had done something pretty bad. It doesn't say exactly what it was, and it may be in the previous verses. But he was down so low that he felt like he had been cut off from the Lord's eyes. But he said, nevertheless, thou hearest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. I don't care how low you think you get, how down you get, how bad you think you've been, how you're convicted and persecuted of your sins. If you call out to the Lord is going to hear your voice. You know, we can get to a point where we say, you know, this time I've done it. I've sinned so bad, the Lord's not going to hear me. But David's telling you here, no, the Lord will hear you when you cry out. Oh, love the Lord, all his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I love that word, preserveth the faithful. We all know what that means. If you can a bunch of strawberry preserves, Sister Betty, you can answer this. Have you ever lost any preserves that you canned? No, you hadn't. If you lost it, they weren't preserved to start with. Something was wrong. Something was wrong. If they're preserved, they're preserved forever. And the Lord has preserved his people. How long is it going to last? Are we going to be spoiled? No, we won't. The Lord give us strength. The Lord guide our steps. I pray continually for this church, and I know you do too. As we're going through a transition time, we're asking the Lord to, number one, show us the way that you would have us to go. Send us a pastor, if that be your will. Give us a pastor, if that be your will. But I'm thankful for the endurance and the strength of the Midland Church. We're in our second year now, and we may have gone 2 years without a pastor living among us. And I so hope and desire that the Lord will give us a pastor and also be one that can come and live here among us and be with us. Pastor is important to guide us spiritually and to preach for us on the weekends. But, you know, he's important on Tuesday night when something goes wrong. You get sick or you're down in the dumps. You need counseling, and you need him on Friday afternoon when something may happen. I can't help but remember my father. I may mention him too often, but I do remember when he decided that he was going to serve the Lord full time, serve the Midland Primitive Baptist Church full time. And what I mean by that, he was not going to work in the secular world anymore. He was not going to have something distract his thoughts and mind. His number one priority was the Midland Church and the needs of the people in serving the Lord. And I'll never forget, I was 8 or 9 years old, and my dad had been doing that for a couple of months. And I'll never forget mother coming to dad at the kitchen table. You know, a lot of things happened at the kitchen table back in those days. She said, his name was Elvis, said, Elvis, I want you to look at these bills. How are we going to pay for these bills? What are we going to do? And my dad just looked at him, you know, and he said, okay. And he got up and he said, I'll be back. He got in his car and came down to this building right here. All alone. I know this because he's told this story from the pulpit. And he prayed. He said, I prayed and prayed. And I said, Lord, if I'm not supposed to be doing this, if I need to get a job selling cars, if I need to go back fixing TVs, am I doing this wrong? Why? What am I supposed to do, Lord? Well, he didn't get an email or an answer instantaneously. But you know what? That prayer had been answered 4 days before. Now, how do you know, Brother Gary? He goes home, and he's so drained from praying, pouring out his heart to the Lord, asking him to give him guidance. What should I do? What should I do, Lord? I don't know what to do. He went home, and he was so tired that he laid down and went to sleep on the bed. Mailman runs in the afternoon. About 3:30, the mail came. Mother went and got the mail, opened up a letter, went rushing down the hall, and said, Oh, Elvis, you got to wake up. You got to wake up. You got to see this. Dad cleared his eyes out, got up and read this letter, and it's from a church in California. He said, Dear Elder Barrington, we wanted to send this to you. We've heard about your labor. We've heard about your efforts and what you're trying to do in serving the Lord, and we think you're doing the right thing, and we wanted to send this to you to help you along your way. It was enough money to pay those bills, and we all got to go to Burger King or the Whopper or whatever it was called and get a big old hamburger and french fries that night. The Lord takes care of his children. Amen? Anybody? Amen? He answers your prayers sometimes before you even utter them. I thank you for your kind attention and for your kindness and your support. And I ask that you continue to be with me and Brother Joe and Brother Stephen as the Lord works among us. And I don't know what is here for us. He may raise up one of these brethren as our pastor. We don't know what's going to be, but we do know whatever the will of the Lord is, we want to know, and we want to honor it, and that's the way we want to serve his name, by doing the things that he has us to do. I thank you so much for your kind attention. It's we got about 10 minutes left. Either you brethren on fire or anything you'd like to say, or we just need to sing a song.
Number 444, if you don't mind.
Number 444.